You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Attacking us, can you give us a question?
Go ahead.
Mr. President-elect.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Since you are attacking our news organization.
Not you.
Can you give us a chance?
Your organization is terrible.
You are attacking our news organization.
Your organization is terrible.
Let's go. Ask a question, sir.
Go ahead.
Sir.
Quiet.
Quiet. Mr. President-elect.
Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude. No, I'm not going to give you a question. I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you stay categorical?
You are fake news.
Is that really a fact staring you in the face? Or is it fake news, an alternative fact? Is it true simply because you want it to be true? Like Trump says to CNN and BuzzFeed, being fake news, the trend has invaded the Northern Hemisphere politics during the US presidential election and during Brexit. Social media was the breeding ground for falsehoods driven by cynical manipulation and clickbait revenue potential. The University of Auckland this afternoon is hosting a panel discussion surrounding the question, what will the shape and potential effect of fake news be in the 2017 New Zealand general election campaign? I spoke with the organizer of this panel discussion, Dr. Gavin Ellis, to have a little talk about just how fake news will impact New Zealand's general election this year. To start things off, is fake news a problem here in New Zealand?
I don't think it's the problem that we've seen, say, in the United States during the presidential election or in the lead-up to the Brexit vote, where I think that there were some fairly strong forces involved. Where I think we are in danger is at a lower level, where fake news can be used just to raise anxiety levels. You know, not big stuff, but lots of little stuff interposed with real information in blogs and so on, mainly on social media, I think. But just enough to raise the anxiety level so that people move away from the centre. You know, anxiety tends to push people out to the, not to necessarily to the extremities, but further out on the spectrum, if you know what I mean. And I think that's where the principal danger lies. Now, it could be that we will be subjected to one big lie, if you like, one major piece of fake news that could, for example, capture the news agenda. No indications yet that that's going to happen, and certainly no indications that the New Zealand public will be hoodwinked by it in the way that, for example, too many Americans were hoodwinked by Pizzagate. You know, the suggestion that the Democrats had a pedophile ring running in a Washington pizza parlor. I don't think New Zealanders are particularly susceptible to that sort of outrageous fake news, but they may be susceptible to something more plausible and perhaps at a slightly lower level.
It's some sort of inflammatory clickbait article, that sort of smaller level.
Yeah, inflammatory I think is a good word to use. It will still be false information. You know, it will rely on fake news for its effect, but its intention will be inflammatory rather than you know, a king hit, if you like.
Why do you think that we have been immune, or are so far immune to those, you know, the big level, big fake news stories?
I think one of the reasons is that we're too small to be of interest to external forces. You know, there are suggestions that in both in Europe and in the United States that Russia, for example, had been involved in a number of fake news initiatives. Now, I don't think that we are in danger of that at all. I don't think that we're on that radar. And also, we don't have the political parties at the extremities that some of these other countries have had, like in France, for example, the far right. Trump, of course, was a disruptive wild card that may have served the purposes of Moscow and so on. So I don't think that we're in danger of that. Now, that's not to say that some individual in New Zealand, and I think individual rather than organisation, isn't capable of creating something quite sinister and something quite damaging. And it would perhaps permeate through social media. But I've got a feeling that New Zealanders are a little wise to it now, that it would take a lot of persuading for a big lie to gain currency. But the smaller stuff, yeah, I think there is every possibility that may happen.
It's just curbing the impact of fake news. Is this down to education of media consumers?
I think to a large degree it is. But remember, when we're talking about media consumers, we're talking in the first instance here with consumers of social media. So you're talking nowadays with virtually the entire population. So we all need to be educated to be vigilant and look out for those things that just ring a little alarm bell in the back of your head. And we've all got those if we're prepared to listen to them. Just be a little more sceptical about what we see, a little more analytical about what we read and hear and so on.
Do you think alternatively it's on the heads of, it's the responsibility of Facebook and Twitter and the social media networks to filter this and to crack down on it?
I think that they do bear a very large responsibility. One of the problems that we have in calling them to account, though, is that there is a fine line between filtering out fake news and inhibiting free speech. So, you know, it's not as easy or as clear-cut as it may seem, because the only way that they can filter it is if they are aware that it is fake news. And given the sheer volumes of material that they deal with, because they're all too big to effectively manage what they carry, it's only when they're alerted to the fact that something is fake news, or they have people looking out for it and can determine that it's fake news, that they act or they're prepared to act. But they certainly need to be much more vigilant themselves. There's some indications that they're mindful of their responsibilities. It remains to be seen just how effectively and how diligently they discharge those obligations.
So what are your tips then for the average person to differentiate between a fake news and a real news story?
Look elsewhere on other media, in other words, originated by other media. Use a form of triangulation. If you get a story from three different sources, not three sources repeating the same story, but three different sources, then you can be pretty sure that it's not fake news. It requires that sort of level of vigilance. If you see something that really takes your eye, then don't take it at face value. Look to corroborate it somewhere else before you accept it. Now, that requires a level of diligence and hard work on the part of all of us. But if we're going to ensure the survival of democracy and not the capturing of democracy by fake news, then we need to do that.
So 4:30 p.m. today, the Maths Lecture Theatre 3, Building 303, Auckland Uni, 38
yep,
Princes
in
Street.
The Science Centre, that's right. We've got Corin Dan from TVNZ, the political editor, Mark Jennings, the former head of News at MediaWorks and now one of the co-founders of Newsroom, Chloe Swarbrick, the Green candidate, and Dr. Maria Armudian from Politics and International Relations in the School of Social Sciences, and I'll be trying to keep the conversation on.
I mean, it's
on
a pretty
track.
Stellar lineup. It's going to be awesome.
It's a great lineup.
So, what can we actually expect through the event?
Well, I think that each of them is going to have a different perspective on the effect of fake news. You know, you can expect, for example, that Corin Dan and Mark Jennings will be looking at it from a mainstream media point of view. Chloe, I think, who used social media very effectively in the mayoral elections, is going to be concerned about social media. And I think Maria will have a very much an international view of fake news and the impact that it's had elsewhere and may have here. So I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation.
Thank you very much, Dr. Gavin Ellis, Auckland Uni Media Communication Lecturer. That's at 4:30 today. Hope to see people there.
Cheers.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.